Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, whatever part of the day you're in. Appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time. Hopefully it gives you something to look forward to and add some tools to your toolbox. Hopefully it helps our country just a little bit. For those of y'all that continue to come back, thank you so much. For those of y'all that continue to share the podcast, thank you as well. Very grateful. The homestead, the fruit trees are starting to bud out. Have flowers on the pear tree and a couple of the peach trees. So we'll see if winter stays away or if it comes and takes all of the blooms away. And a lot of the other trees are starting to bud out too. Early, early, early. Always makes you nervous. Interesting little, I haven't done this in a while, tidbit. I think it's interesting. Maybe y'all will too. The podcast company that I use to push out podcasts to all the different, like Apple and Pandora and Spotify, wherever it is that y'all listen. Trying to see if I can find it. They had the number of countries. There it is. That the podcast has been downloaded in 63, and the number of different cities is a little over 1800. And I thought that was pretty crazy. So, anyway, for those of y'all that continue to share the podcast and tell others about it, thank you so much. And for those of y'all that are new, obviously, I'm sure glad you're here. I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you come back. Hope you get something out of it. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the time to record this podcast, the people that listen to Be with them and their families. Guide them. Bless them. Surround them with your angels. Protect us from evil, Father. Help us to help those that have less than we do. Help us to help our country turn back to you. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our doubts and our fears and our unbelief. Help us to overcome them. Forgive us the sins, Father, that each of us fall back into so easily, so readily. Give us courage. Forgive us. Help us to get up and try again. And thank you that we know we can trust you to bring us home one day. And guide my words here, Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Oh. Frederick Douglass, Reverend Frederick Douglass. I love the religion of our blessed Savior. I love that religion that comes from above. I love that religion that sends its votaries to bind up the wounds of him that has fallen among thieves. I love that religion that makes it the duty of its disciples to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. I love that religion that is based upon the glorious principle of love to God and love to man, which makes its followers do unto others as they themselves would be done by. There's a little excerpt. I guess we'll go ahead and read it if I can find it real quick. Out of James. And it was the first letter of James, and it reminds me of this. Our founders. Somebody, I'm kind of jumping around here, folks, and I apologize while I'm looking for this. Our founders read the Bible. We've talked about Washington. We've talked about Jefferson, Franklin, Benjamin Rush, a number of others, and how they read it each day, John Quincy Adams. And we don't do that anymore, which shows in our society. But one of the things I was reading a little quote by a pastor yesterday, today, maybe it was this morning, and he was talking about when fears and doubts start to assail us, when we get scared about the evil that we see in the world and what's going on. He said that God doesn't want us to live in that fear, right? You go back, I think maybe it's Ephesians, I can't remember, but God didn't give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. And he listed off a number of promises. I wish that I had his little quote in front of me right now. I don't. Out of the Bible. But the point is, if you don't read it, you can't know it. And we go back to that quote from Benjamin Franklin, talked about, you know, in Europe and England and France, often he had to explain his biblical references because they didn't read the Bible enough to know them. But in America, he didn't have to do that because the people read the Bible so thoroughly that you didn't have to stop and talk about each of these references. You go back to this quote by Frederick Douglass, and there's a couple of scriptural references in here. Really, there's multiple. There's one about the Good Samaritan, the definition of pure religion, right? Caring for the widow and the orphan. Love to God and love to man. And the golden rule, right? Love your neighbors yourself. But if we don't read the Bible on a day-to-day basis, and really read it. And I'm guilty of this, folks. Some days I'll turn on the audio Bible and I'll listen to it for 15 minutes and I get something out of it. There's no doubt. Some days more than others, but I never get as much out of that as I do when I'm reading along. Even if I'm still listening to the Bible as I'm reading along as they're reading it out loud. There's something about getting into the Word each day, and it gives you this hope. And it also drills into your mind. It's like in the Marine Corps. I've told this story before. Some of y'all that have been in the military know it. When we would go, especially early on when we were still in schools, and we would go to the range, especially for the Marine Corps at the basic school, which was our basic infantry school for officers up in Quantico. It felt like we spent weeks. We didn't. We just spent a day or so, but we spent hours doing what they called snapping in. And we spent hours and hours. And you would just sit there and practice firing, getting in the position to fire. Trigger control, right? Squeezing really slowly on the trigger, sight alignment, sight picture, all these things. And there were no rounds. There was no ammunition. You were just practicing. But you did it over and over and over again so that when you actually started to shoot, the theory was, and it worked if you really paid attention, is that your body would start to do what it was supposed to without really having to think about it as much. And that's the same with the Word of God. If you read it over and over again, your actions start to line up with those. You see those opportunities throughout the day that you wouldn't have noticed before to take care of somebody. You know, maybe you're already doing it in your life and you just didn't realize it. You thought, man, I'm really doing a poor job. I'm not doing a very good job following God's word. And then all of a sudden, the more you start to read it, you see, oh, well, I'm doing this. And I didn't realize that's exactly what God wants me doing right now. It gives you a little bit of peace. It calms your spirit. And so at any rate, I'm going to read just a little bit of 1 John. This is out of chapter 3. Starting with verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. I think the part of that that really fits to me is the very first verse, let us love not in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. The whole point again being action. And you see Reverend Frederick Douglass's comment here. You know, what does Christianity do? There's the great quote we read just a couple weeks ago, and I can't remember the author right now, but Christianity works while infidelity talks, right? Something like that. But Douglass says we go out and we care for those that have fallen among thieves. We care for the, we visit the fatherless, the orphan, and the widow. And we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Which sometimes, folks, means telling somebody the truth, right? Benjamin Banneker is a man hired by Thomas Jefferson to help lay out the original city of Washington, D.C. It is the indispensable duty of those who profess the obligations of Christianity to extend their powers and influence to the relief of every part of the human race from whatever burden or oppression they may unjustly labor under. You know, he says here, right, it's our duty, and we have an obligation to care for those who have less than we do. And when you look around, folks, if you are listening to this podcast right now, and you're in the United States or another first world country, one of those 1800 cities, you have more than the vast majority of the world population just by default of living in those countries. And we get so caught up, and I'm guilty of this, folks, we get so caught up in striving to get more, in being dissatisfied with what we already have, that we really kind of take part of the joy out of life, and we often fail in those duties and obligations that Mr. Banneker was talking about here, to help relieve whatever burden or oppression that others may unjustly labor under. You know, the thing that pops in my head right now is we have a large part of the population in America, and really in Western civilization, that they want to talk about a type of slavery. Really, they want to hammer America in particular for a type of slavery that hasn't existed for over 150 years. And yet we have a very real slavery today in the nation, in the sex trade, which is in large part driven by illegal immigration. But we don't want to talk about that. And then we want to pretend that we're being kind and caring by supporting illegal immigration. Oh, we want to care for these widows and these orphans that are coming across, when a huge chunk of the people coming across are not widows or orphans. And that lawlessness is actually hurting actual widows and orphans, legitimate widows and orphans. Just a thought. Reverend Richard Allen, a wagon driver during the American Revolution, founder of, I think, one of the Methodist denomination. I'm not 100% sure on that. We've read from Reverend Allen before, but it's been quite a while. Our Savior's first and great work was that of the salvation of men's souls. Yet we find that of the multitudes who came or were brought to him laboring under sickness and disorders, he never omitted one opportunity of doing good to their bodies, or sent away one that applied to him. Christian charity, or love, is pure and disinterested, remote from all hopes of worldly recompense from the persons we relieve. We are to do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. In its extent, it is unlimited and universal. It is confined to no persons, countries, or places, but takes in all mankind, strangers as well as relations or acquaintances, enemies as well as friends, the evil and unthankful as well as the good and grateful. It has no other measure than the love of God to us, and the absolute necessity of practicing this duty is the very same with that of being Christians. By doing acts of mercy and charity, we acknowledge our dependence upon God and his absolute right to whatever we possess through his bounty and goodness. There's a lot there, folks. I think a couple things that really jump out at the end there. He's talking about we acknowledge our dependence upon God and his absolute right to whatever we possess through his bounty and goodness. You know, in November each year, we read through those Thanksgiving proclamations. And so often you hear our presidents echo these words that we acknowledge our dependence on God. We used to do that as a nation. That's a big deal. And it's a huge deal that we don't anymore acknowledge our dependence on God. And particularly, you would hear so often in those proclamations that everything that we had was through his bounty and his goodness. Nothing we think that we've done this all on our own, folks, and we haven't. And if we don't recognize that, which we haven't been, it makes life really hard, because there comes a point when God will say, all right, you think you're doing this all on your own. You got it. Go to town. Let's see what you got. And I think in a lot of ways, that's exactly what's going on in the United States right now. Is God saying, all right, you got it. You think some man is going to, you know, save you. Trump, Biden, some senator or representative that you're hanging your hat on. You think some political party is going to give you what you need, Republicans, Democrats. You think that you've been blessed in this land because of your own strength and prowess And not only that, we've kicked him out. We've said, you know what, we don't want you. I'm reminded often of the quote by Billy Graham's daughter, I think, said, you know, we've asked, rather rudely, I might add, for God to leave, to get out. We don't want you. And God, being the gentleman that he is, has obliged. It's not working out too well, folks. But the good news is, if we'll just turn back to him, we have some hope. We have all the hope in the world, the only real hope. God bless y'all, your families, your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.